with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. This year's presidential election had the highest total voter turnout in South Dakota history. The turnout was 436,470 ballots cast on Tuesday. That's according to the South Dakota Secretary of State's website. That's nearly 9,000 more voters than the previous record from 2020. However, that isn't the highest voter turnout in terms of percentage of registered voters. This year, nearly 70% of registered voters hit the polls. That's the highest since 2004, which saw 78% turnout. Republicans' already iron grip on the South Dakota legislature got tighter this election. The GOP picked up a seat in both the Senate and the House. That means in the Senate, Republicans will hold 32 seats to Democrats' 3. And in the House, Republicans have an advantage of 64-6. Both are well beyond the two-thirds needed for supermajority. Republicans have held supermajorities in both chambers for decades. All election results are unofficial until the vote is canvassed. New data shows South Dakota's youth voter registration has fallen since 2020. According to the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, registration of 18 and 19-year-olds this year was down 73% from the last presidential election. Samantha Chapman is the advocacy manager for the ACLU of South Dakota. She says some young people feel like their votes do not matter.
We've seen multiple times in South Dakota where the state legislature will override or repeal the will of the voters or a state court will. So people feel a little discouraged at times.
The nation overall saw a drop in voter registration between ages 18 and 29. Iowa and South Dakota saw the biggest drops in registration at 37 and 33%, down respectively. The state's largest county now faces scrutiny following the election, though it's not because of security issues. Instead, many feel the counting process took unreasonably long, delaying results in multiple key state house races. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
Voters and candidates had a longer night than expected in Minnehaha County, which was the last in the state to submit its results. Final unofficial results were not published until late Wednesday afternoon, nearly 24 hours after the polls closed. Republican State Representative Tony Van Huysen says it was an unreasonable delay.
I can remember a time not that long ago when Minnehaha County got the counting done much faster. I don't believe it's an impossible task because it has been done before many times. So that raises the question of what is the issue. Sitting here today, I don't know, but I do know that it's possible and it's fixable. And if that requires some change at the state level, I think legislators of all political stripes would be happy to do that because we need to have the counts be quick and reliable.
Delays were also noted in the next largest counties, Pennington and Lincoln, though the lag there was less extreme. The frustration over that long wait is markedly bipartisan. Outgoing Democratic State Representative Linda Duba says this needs addressing in the county auditor's office.
The core issue is this. The auditor needs to define and show written processes and procedures, document where she believes the gaps exist and or why she's having a timeliness issue, and then how she plans to address that. You have to own it. It's your process. You are the owner. You are the auditor. You have seasoned people in there. This is not their first rodeo.
Minnehaha County Auditor Leah Anderson did not return request for comment. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
A coalition of opponents to a pipeline regulation bill celebrates its overwhelming defeat by South Dakota voters. In the aftermath of the election, Referred Law 21 opponents say they're looking forward. SDPB's Evan Walton reports.
Proponents for RL 21 say the bill would have offered protections for landowners throughout the state. They also say a carbon pipeline would have brought new income. Opponents say the bill would have violated the property rights of South Dakotans. Chase Jensen is the senior organizer for Dakota Rural Action. He says the fight now moves back to the legislature.
As the loud majority, we celebrate this victory and we look forward to this next session, where we will actually get to some of the root causes that this project has raised in our state, and we will not settle for false compromise bills like Referred Law 21 was.
Summit Carbon Solutions is the company behind the proposed pipeline. it has faced pushback from both landowners and the Public Utilities Commission. Brian Jordy is a lawyer who has represented landowners in their fight against carbon pipelines. He says he has seen the grassroots effort grow.
To have the whole state now, not just the affected counties, the whole state tell them no. It's time for Summit and their sympathizers and their friends and the politicians that they fund to realize you've got to respect local control in South Dakota, respect the ordinances, and eminent domain cannot be used. And if they don't get that through their head, this pipeline will not be built in South Dakota ever.
Jordy says despite beating both Summit and Navigator in PUC hearings, sympathetic legislators were keeping the project alive in the state. He points to the 11 lawmakers who voted for Senate Bill 201 who lost their legislative races as proof of what South Dakotans want from their legislators on the topic. Summit says it plans to reapply with the PUC on November 19th. I'm SCPB's Evan Walton.
Opponents of recreational marijuana are applauding the defeat of initiated Measure 29. South Dakota voters shut down the measure with 44% in favor and 56% against. Rhonda Milstead is the executive director of Protecting South Dakota Kids. She says she's proud of the South Dakota public.
We are very grateful for what happened, that vote. I think that people just are becoming more awake to what the harms of marijuana are. And the fact that Florida, North Dakota, and us all defeated those ballot measures that just come at us out of the dark, I hope will be encouraging to other states that will try and just turn their states around.
The group backing the bill has not returned calls for comment. Milstead says the Sioux Falls professional community needs to speak out.
If we could get in Sioux Falls, the school system, the medical communities, to step up and talk about the harms that marijuana does, not only to our children, but to adults, I think that we just need to wake people up totally. The fact that we had 50-some percent of the vote was amazing. But I think that we could get 80% of the vote if people really knew the truth about marijuana. And we need those parts of our communities to speak out on it.
South Dakota remains one of 26 states to not allow recreational marijuana. The vote does not impact the state's medical marijuana program. The University of South Dakota announces a $2 million grant to support the school's addiction and substance abuse disorder services. SDPB's CJ Keene checks in.
The money comes from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration and will be distributed over the course of 2 years. Officials say it will open opportunities to individuals struggling East River. Brennan Thompson is overseeing the project and serves as the Director of Addiction Counseling and Prevention Services.
It'll be focused on the Minnehaha County, the DUI court, and also the drug court. It's really just making sure the services that are required and offered are the most effective. And then also adding on resources.
That money will go to multiple new positions designed to help people navigate the legal and recovery systems.
We'll be hiring a physician, and that will be called the Justice Navigator. And then with their job will be to help the participants from when they enter into court, and also navigating the whole way through. That includes the transportation of services, access to anything they need in relation to court, but also outside of that too.
Thompson stresses the role will not only pertain to those in the legal system, though.
They have to go to mental health counseling. They have to go to substance abuse disorder treatment. They have to have a job.
While widely used as a suicide lifeline, the 988 crisis hotline is also free for individuals facing substance abuse disorders. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Governor Kristi Noem says she plans to reapply to bring fireworks back to Mount Rushmore this summer. This comes after President-elect Donald Trump announced plans for a, quote, most spectacular birthday celebration for America's 250th anniversary in 2026. On her X account, Noem says she wants to celebrate the occasion with fireworks. Fireworks shows weren't allowed at Mount Rushmore for over a decade due to wildfire concerns. They returned in 2020 in an event attended by then-President Trump. Since then, Noem's applications to bring fireworks back have been denied by the National Park Service. The NPS cited an environmental study showing potential negative impacts on the monument itself, nearby water quality, wildlife, and Native American relations. Noem can reapply to the NPS for the fireworks show in July. The National Pancreatic Cancer Foundation hosted its annual Visions in Violet Gala in Rapid City. The goal? To raise awareness about the disease and help raise funds to support patients. National Pancreatic Cancer Foundation officials say it has one of the lowest five-year survival rates of any major cancer at only 10%. Rhonda Williams is the founder and director of the National Pancreatic Cancer Foundation. She describes why the survival rates are so low.
The symptoms are very similar to a lot of other things like jaundice, which would be your liver, back pain, digestive issues. It could be anything. And so they're having a hard time diagnosing it. And it's silent. It's a silent killer is what they call it. So it hides. And then by the time that they realize that it's there, it's stage 3, stage 4. So the need for early detection is critical.
Williams started the National Foundation because of her mother-in-law, who passed away from the disease after a six-year battle. Williams was her primary caregiver.
I watched them lose everything they had, their house, their savings, their any kind of resources. So I was like, what can we do to help these people who are, you know, they just get annihilated? Not everybody, but a lot of people, they lose their job because they can't work. So that is my reason why, is for her. And everything I do with pancreatic cancer is for her. And it keeps her memory alive, and she didn't die in vain.
Williams says to be diligent with your doctors if you have symptoms with no other explanation. The State Department of Health reports in 2019, pancreatic cancer was the third leading cause of death in South Dakota, making up more than 8% of all cancer deaths. White River made a change on the gridiron this year by moving to the All Nations Football Conference. While the school is typically known for its success in basketball, there's a new sense of excitement surrounding their football squad this year. SDPB's Nate Weck brings us the sounds from a Tigers game day.
When it comes to White River, most fans will think of basketball. But this season, football is bringing in some excitement as well. The school made the decision to move to the All Nations Football Conference this year, which has helped rejuvenate interest in the sport.
Can't get beat deep in the passing game. Keep all right, nothing deep, everything in front of us. Yeah. And then we are containing that quarterback in the pocket to the best we can. Right?
Late July, we were worried about our numbers going down just because I think we haven't had a ton of success in season the last couple of years. And I think we're going to have another tough schedule this year. And I think that was kind of keeping some kids from wanting to play. And so we decided, you know, I think if we join All Nations was kind of the thought, we could get those numbers up. And that's worked. We're up to 21 guys now. I think what it allows us to do, you know, the schedule's a lot easier now. And that gives us an opportunity to win games, and that is going to feed into the younger kids in middle school, elementary, to have them see, hey, we can win football games around here. And it's not something, you know, where all we can do around here is play basketball.
It's definitely different. The competition's the same, but the motivation you have going into the game is still there. The adrenaline you get is still very high, and it's still fun to play, and I love doing it. And
football's still football. Football is where it's at. I love football. Football will be everything to me.
Just to have a season is great. I love playing the sport. It's what I like to do. So,
football coaches might not like hearing this, but in my opinion, it's not as hard of a sport to play as basketball is. The physical aspect of it is really tough, but as far as skill-wise, a good basketball player can translate to a good football player pretty easily, and we've proven that we have a lot of good basketball players here.
Tigers players can always count on the support from the White River faithful.
Let's go Tigers! Let's go! Let's go Tigers!
The community, we all support each other. As you guys can see around here, business is closed on the nights that we play.
We don't go because we've got children or grandchildren playing. We go because we're Tiger fans. So.
You know, I was born and raised in White River, so I've been here, you know, since the mid-80s, and you know, it's been a tradition. We come out and everyone gets around the field, and it's always a good time.
Well, for me, I'd say it's the camaraderie, just being around the same people who are here to see the same thing you are and hopefully see a Tiger victory.
My opinion of football is it is a family. I mean, the more successful you are, the more family you feel, so. They're here for each other.
Community does a great job at supporting these guys, you know, especially, you know, they love the kids here. You know, this school is the heartbeat of the community. And so they're, you know, our home games are always packed, football, basketball, volleyball. they really enjoy watching these guys. And the kids notice that. You know, they definitely know, like, hey, when it's game night, we're the biggest show in town, and the community's gonna be out there to support us.
It's crazy. You break out of the huddle.
One, two, three, Tigers!
You really can't put it into words. It's one of the best things ever.
Yeah, I like to, we don't have a big field, so the cars are very close. You can see people sitting on the back of their tailgates. I love that. I love the community. You can spot people cheering, you can hear everyone. It's really just a great feeling to have your community behind you when you're going into a football game.
The All Nations Football Conference has provided a spark for football once again in White River.
I think when the younger kids see, hey, every high school kid, every high school boy is playing football. I think when they see that, it kind of becomes an expectation. And I think that's something we've kind of been losing over the last couple of years, where we just haven't been able to get all of our high school boys to come out. And I think that this league gives us a chance to do that and really start to be more competitive, where we should be, in my opinion.
White River plays tonight at 7 p.m. Central against Lower Brule for the 9B All Nations Football Conference Championship. That game will air live on SDPB1 TV and stream online at sdpb.org/allnations. With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SDPB News. And visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.